Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to teach on David. I've got a brand new book entitled Lessons from David that just came out, and I've expanded my DVD and CD teaching to include the things that I'm starting to teach today. I've had CDs and DVDs out on David for a number of years, and I've just expanded it because there's so much material. There was things that I just wanted to include. So now instead of a four teaching part, we have a five-part teaching on this, and this is new and improved teaching. So I encourage you to please take advantage of the materials that we're offering. Let me just go back to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Now, the last thing that I was teaching, I was contrasting Saul and David and Absalom. And in the process of doing that, I skipped way over to 2 Samuel chapter 15 and dealt with some things at the end of David's life concerning his son Absalom when he had a civil war and tried to take over the kingdom. But I want to go back now to 1 Samuel chapter 18 and just begin to start going through some of the things in David's life. I'm still going to have to skip through a lot of things because there's just too much detail. But there are some traits in David that are such godly qualities that are missing from people today that I think it's worth noting this and making mention of it. So in 1 Samuel chapter 17 is where David killed Goliath. And I've already spent a number of days talking about that. In chapter 18 is after he killed Goliath, and then all of the Israelites rose up and chased the Philistines. And I mean, they just totally defeated the Philistines. Chapter 18 starts talking about the results of this. And the first thing it talks about is that Saul took David and made David stay with him and wouldn't let him go home anymore to his father. But he took David and made him like a personal assistant. And it also recounts Jonathan and David and how that Jonathan's heart was just knit unto David. And he gave David his armor, his sword, everything, and honored him. And I mean, the story between David and Jonathan is a tremendous story. I really hadn't got time to develop it, but that's something that you ought to read. Matter of fact, David, after Jonathan was killed in battle, David said of Jonathan that his love for Jonathan past the love for women. That's not talking about some type of homosexual relationship as some, as some people today have tried to make it. I'm trying to behave myself. But there are some people today saying that that's talking about a homosexual relationship. It's not. It's just saying that he loved Jonathan in a pure, godly type of way. There was no physical contact. It wasn't some sexual perversion or something. It was just talking about that it was a supernatural love that existed between David and Jonathan. And I guarantee you, there's people that I love that way, and it's not in an ungodly sexual way. It's just a supernatural God kind of love that you have for people, men and women, and it's not sexual. I tell you, only perverts would sit there and take something like that and try and pervert what the obvious meaning of this is. So I'm not going to teach on all of that, but David and Jonathan were knit together, and I mean, Jonathan laid his life down on a number of occasions to defend David. So that's also in this 18th chapter. And then it says in verse 6, 1 Samuel 18:6, and it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. You know, this is a major turning point right here. Up until this time, Saul had loved David. The very first few verses here in this chapter talk about that he wouldn't even let him go home. He wanted David to be with him. He loved him. But when he heard the people praising David and ascribing to David more victories than what he had, Saul became very angry. And this goes back to a point that I made yesterday. I think I also mentioned it last week. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 says, "Only by pride comes contention." Saul was jealous of David, and that's why he came against him and tried to kill David on multiple occasions, is because of pride. And whether you realize it or not, all contention, all strife, all variance between people is all about pride. I've got a teaching on this entitled Self-Centeredness, the Source of All Grief. And I hadn't got time to teach that because usually it takes me a week or 2 weeks just to teach this one thing. But some of you may not be relating and you may be saying, "Well, pride's not my problem, and yet, man, I'm a very angry person." Whether you realize it or not, pride is your problem. Pride has been misdefined and we just think it's arrogance. But pride in its simplest terms is self-centeredness. And if you are an angry, bitter, hurt person, you are a very self-centered person. If you are a shy, timid person, you are a very self-centered person. And I know that didn't bless some of you. And some of you are thinking, "No way, that's not true." Yes way, it is true. I was a super insecure, timid person. Now, I had certain people like my family and real close friends that I felt comfortable around, but you put me into a place where, you know, I didn't know the people and stuff, and I guarantee you, I had a fear of man, and it was because I was so thinking about myself and thinking, "What are they going to say about me?" I had a deathly fear of talking in front of people because I was afraid I might say something wrong, I might stumble, I might look like a fool, I might make a fool of myself. You know what all that is? Self-centeredness. You're thinking about yourself. There are some of you that are just terrified. If you were to be on television the way I am right now, you would freeze. You'd be terrified. What if I say something wrong? What are people going to think about me? And yet you've got awesome things that God has done in your life. There are some of you that have had a miraculous salvation. Your marriage has been saved. Your body's been healed. Your finances have been turned around. God has done something in you that could bless other people, and yet you're paralyzed to get it out of you. You know why? Because you're thinking, "What are they going to think about me? Am I going to communicate it right? Am I going to make a mistake? What if I? What about me?" If you ever got to a place where you were more concerned about other people receiving from God and using your testimony to help somebody than you were about what they thought about you, then you would be free to share. So anyway, I could just go on and on with this. Like I said, I've got at least, I don't even know, but it's hours of teaching on self-centeredness, the source of all grief. I've got a little booklet. Tell you what, I'll make a little offer. If you want to call in, we aren't going to just offer it and remind you of it, but if you call in and say, "Man, I want this little booklet on self-centeredness, the root of all grief," we will make it available to you as our gift today. But it will explain it in more detail. But this is exactly what happened with Saul right here. It was because of jealousy. It was pride. It says in James 3:16, "Where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work." When you get into pride, when you get into envying, you want what somebody else has had, you're jealous of them, you open up a door to every evil work. You may not relate pride to sickness, to poverty, but those are evil works. And envy and strife open up the door to every evil work. The reason some people are sick isn't because of their diet or lack of exercise or anything like that. It's because of their pride and self-centeredness. The reason many people are struggling financially is because of their own pride and self-centeredness. They can't discipline themselves. They just indulge their flesh, buy things that they don't have the money for, go into debt and dig themselves a hole. Whatever your problem is, I can guarantee you self-centeredness is the root of all evil in your life. You need to get that teaching, and you can see it right here with Saul. And in the next verse, it says in verse 10, "And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, And there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it, and David avoided out of his presence twice. This jealousy and rage drove Saul to literally try and kill David out of no other motivation than the fact that he was jealous of him. Self-centered. He wanted the acclaim, the recognition that was going to David. He wanted it for himself. And I'm telling you, there are people watching this program right now that the only reason you're bitter and having the problems that you're having is because of your own self-centeredness, and that you can't rejoice with somebody else at their promotion. Instead, you're jealous of them. Amen. You know, I know that there's a lot of people that get offended when I say these things, but I'm saying them to help you. I'm telling you, you make a miserable person when it's all about you. It is so much better. Jesus said that it's in losing our life that we really find life. It's when we lay down our life for others that we get life. It's counterintuitive. It's different than what this world is saying. But you can see it right here in Saul. You can see what it led him to, an attempted murder. And in the latter part of this chapter, somebody came and told Saul that his daughter was in love with David. And so when he saw this, he gave his oldest daughter to another man. Just in case David felt the same way about her, he did this to hurt David. And eventually, then it was told him that his youngest daughter, Michal, was in love with David. And so Saul said, I'll give Michal to David and she'll be a snare to him. Now, there's not a lot of explanation given, but we know by the fact that Saul had already tried to kill David twice. He had given his oldest daughter to another man just to hurt David. It appears that Saul did this as punishment for David. And so, without having all of the background information, apparently Michal must have been a mess. She must have been a spoiled brat or had some severe problems, because Saul said, she will be a snare unto David. And when this was proposed to David, that, all right, Saul is going to let you have his daughter to be your wife, but here's what he wants as a dowry. You have to go out and kill 100 of the Philistines, our enemies, and bring in proof that they're dead, and then I will give you my daughter. He thought that by doing that David would get himself killed. But instead, David went out and did it and brought it back. And so he got Michal as his daughter, and so she became his wife. And apparently Michal and David really did love each other. And so that's made David not only the one who was anointed to be king, but now he was the son-in-law to the king, and therefore kind of a successor in the line of succession. In the 19th chapter, you see Saul's jealousy against David just continuing and getting worse and worse. And it was so much so that David literally had to escape out of his presence. He used Jonathan here to help him and preserve his life. And in the 20th chapter, Jonathan and David made it a covenant, and Jonathan was the one who was in the line of succession to take over from his father Saul, and yet he said, I know, David, that God has given you the kingdom and that you're going to reign, and when you sit on the throne, I want to be next to you. I want to be serving you and helping you. You know, this is such a tremendous thing on Jonathan's part, because this guy could have seen David the same way that his father did, as a threat to the kingdom. Instead, Jonathan was willing to let David take the kingdom and just let Jonathan serve him. Jonathan was a great man. And we didn't read this, but over in the 16th chapter, the 14th chapter of 1 Samuel, Jonathan went out and won a huge battle against the Philistines. And he had a perfect heart. I mean, it was supernatural the way he did it, because he relied upon God. Jonathan would have been a great king, but because of his father's rebellion against God, Jonathan did not succeed and did not become the next king. Instead, he died with his father in battle. And here's another lesson that you can learn from all of this, and that is that Saul, when he rebelled at God and when he had the kingdom taken from him, it not only affected him, but it affected all of his children. Jonathan died in battle with him, along with a couple of other of his children. And then Ishbosheth, His son took over the kingdom for 7 years, but he didn't prosper and eventually was beheaded and lost his life, all because of what his father had done. You need to recognize that your actions affect not only you, but they'll affect your family. They will affect people in your community. They will affect people in your church that know you. It's just a totally wrong concept to think that, you know, well, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. That is not true. Every one of us have influence on other people, and you can see that in the life of Saul. And so anyway, I'm going to summarize some things because I hadn't got time to go through each detail. But eventually it got so bad that Saul tried to kill David in his own bed at home. And David's wife, Saul's daughter, Michal, knew her father and said, if you don't escape tonight, you're going to die. And so David slipped out of a window. There were people from Saul watching his house. He slipped out of a window and escaped. And Saul's daughter, David's wife, Michal, put an image in the bed, pillows in the bed, and made it look like David was laying in the bed. And when the messengers came to try and get David and kill him, she said, he's sick. So this bought him some time. The messengers went back and told Saul that he was sick, and Saul said, kill him right there in the bed. So by the time they got back and found out that they were deceived by Michal, David had time to escape. And as a punishment against David, Saul, his father-in-law, took Michal and gave her to another man to be his wife. Boy, you talk about, having bad things happen. Since David had been anointed to be king, he had slain Goliath, and that was good. But since that time, the king had tried to kill him twice with a javelin. He had tried to kill him by making him go out and kill 100 of the Philistines, hoping that would kill him. He gave him his daughter, thinking that she's going to be a pain. And he had done all of these things. Finally, he took David's wife and gave her to another man just to add hurt and insult to this. You know, most people would have looked at this as justification for David fighting back and overcoming Saul. And anyway, there is just story after story here. David actually went back to the priest and got some showbread. Jesus uses this example in the 21st chapter of 1 Samuel. Jesus quoted that in the New Testament to show that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. And then David just began a series of running from Saul for his life. And the scriptures here, I've tried to figure this out. I've even read commentaries and people guess at it, but I can't find out exactly the length of time involved here. But I suspect that it was somewhere at least around 13 years. Most people believe David was about 17 when he killed Goliath. And over in 2 Samuel chapter 5, it says David was 30 years old when he finally took over the kingdom, and that was at Saul's death. So you subtract that 17 years from 30. It was around 13 years after David was anointed to be king that instead of things getting better, he just had problem after problem. Saul trying to kill him, taking his wife from him, chasing him. The armies surrounded him. One time the armies of Saul had David completely surrounded. And all of a sudden they got a message that the Philistines had invaded the land, and Saul had to break off his pursuit of David and go defend his country and stuff, and God saved his life. It got so bad that eventually this is in the 24th chapter. Let me just read some of this. I'm not sure we'll get through all of this on today's program, but praise God for tomorrow. We'll come back and finish it. In the 24th chapter of 1 Samuel, it says in verse 2, then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. So here was Saul. He was hot or whatever. He went in to cover his feet. I'm not totally sure what that means, but it appears to me that he was asleep or something, because David came up and cut off a portion of his robe. If he would have been awake, seems to me like he would have been able to notice that. But he was in this cave covering his feet. David and his men were hiding in the sides of the cave. And look at what happened here. It says, the men of David said unto him, Behold the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe. First of all, let me just say in this fourth verse, there is no scripture in the Bible that says God would deliver Saul into his hand and David could do with him whatever he wanted to. So it's possible that this was some kind of a prophecy or something that somebody gave him, but it's not recorded in scripture. It's also possible that they just interpreted some stuff, that since he was anointed to be king, that they supposed this meant he could do whatever he wanted to. But apparently David didn't share their opinion at all. They wanted to kill him. All David did was go up and cut off a part of his robe. And then it says in verse 5, And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Now again, I was teaching previous in the week about David being a man after God's own heart. And I made the point that this doesn't mean that you're never going to make a mistake or do something wrong, but your heart overall is after God. Sometimes you can be swayed by people, but if your heart is right, God will deal with you based on your heart and give you grace when it comes to your actions. Well, this is one of those things that everybody was wanting David to kill Saul. And he didn't do that, but he did do something that normally he wouldn't have done. He did something to humiliate Saul. He cut off a portion of his robe showing that, you know, your life was in my hand. I could have killed you. It was a way of, you know, getting back at Saul. And he did it, but then after he had done it, his heart smote him. And I'm telling you, if you got a right heart, if your heart is really after God, when you get off the path and begin to deviate, your heart will let you know it. You know, the scripture says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And I found this, that if I'm looking at my options trying to understand, God, do you want me to do this or do you want me to do this? I contemplate what, you know, choice A will do, what choice B will do, what choice C will do. And I go there in my imagination and try and picture what the results are going to be. And usually my own heart will tell me which is the direction I feel the most peace about, what I see happening. The scripture says, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And that's an effective way to be led by God. Here his heart smote him because he had a heart after God. And when Saul woke up, he left the cave and David followed him out into the mouth of the cave and fell down on his face before Saul. And he said, why are you listening to other people tell you that I'm trying to kill you and I'm trying to get rid of you and take over the kingdom? You see today that here you were and God delivered you into my hands and people wanted me to kill you, but I didn't. And he said, to prove that this is all true and that I was in there and could have killed you, he says, here's this portion of your robe that I cut off. And he showed it to Saul. And all of a sudden, Saul fell down and began to repent and actually confess positive things over David. You know, I'm right in the midst of this. There's a great point to make from this, but I'm going to have to leave it until tomorrow's program. So I encourage you to listen in tomorrow. Also, you can get this brand new book that I've got entitled Lessons from David. You can get my new expanded DVD and CD teaching on the subject of David. And also remember, I made this special offer today about this little booklet entitled Self-Centeredness, the Source of All Grief. If you'll listen, our announcer will give you all of this information. I encourage you to please call or write today and receive these materials. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
On today's program, Andrew mentioned his book titled Self-Centeredness, the Source of All Grief. You can get a free copy of this booklet by going to our website at awmi.net and clicking on Today's TV Offer. This offer is limited to one free copy per household. Andrew's complete teaching titled Lessons from David is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. It's also available in a brand new companion study guide that's perfect for home groups, Sunday schools, and for individual study. Not only is the entire teaching included in the study guide, you can also print off as many copies as you like when you download the PDF files from the included data CD. This valuable resource is available for a gift of $35 or more. Or you can get Lessons from David on either CD or DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is titled The School of Hard Knocks. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of April, he'll be in Chicago, Illinois. In May, he'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, Telford, England, and in Wiesbaden, Germany. And in June, he'll be in Nice, France, and in Woodland Park for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
It's a good story, but it doesn't really exist. He doesn't exist. He was God.
They'd say I believe in myself.
The people would give me a blank stare and I'd be like, have you ever heard this? And they say no.
The ministry of Andrew Womack and Caris Bible College provides students with the opportunity to share God's love with the world.
We went out on the streets of Cologne in Berlin in Germany. We presented dramas and danced on the streets to draw in the people.
They see this joy inside of us, and that's what draws them to us.
Something so silly as a little skit is a huge thing because you have to have things that will speak it for you.
After the skit was done, we just run out and we'd start talking. We just invade their lifestyle and just start talking about Jesus.
Womack Ministries, changing lives, changing the world.
It is not enough for you to have need. Need doesn't motivate God. God is motivated by His own love to meet our needs, and His power is available. But the thing that will release or appropriate this power of God is faith.